Every time I speak to our youth on Wednesday nights, I start out by saying, what book of the Bible are we in? So let's give that a try. What book of the Bible are we in? Hosea. You can all open up your own copy of God's Word to Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 11. But as always, I have a little something silly to start with. So I was thinking about, you know, some different things, and my mind went, as I was studying this passage, my mind went to the way that our culture has changed in regard to smoking, and the role that smoking has changed in our culture. At one time, people did not know as much as they do now in regard to smoking. They didn't know the health dangers that we know about now. And they even had ads at one time of doctors who were smoking cigarettes. And, you know, just so you knew that, you know, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette, you know. So if you want to smoke the healthy cigarettes, you know, then, you know, it's silly for us to think about now. But even in that day and age where they didn't know as much about the health risks, they still had concerns about cigarettes. Even beyond the medical aspect, they had concerns. And one fella by the name of Tex Williams even wrote a song about the concerns he had about cigarettes. He said, "Now I'm a fella with a heart of gold, with the ways of a gentleman, I've been told, the kind of a fella that wouldn't even harm a flea. But if me and a certain character met, the guy that invented the cigarette, I'd murder that son of a gun in the first degree." And he goes on, "It ain't because I don't smoke myself. I don't reckon they hinder your health. I smoked them all my life, and I ain't dead yet." He says, "But nicotine slaves are all the same, whether they're here or there or a poker game. Everything's got to stop while they have that cigarette. No matter the health risks involved, if anything in our lives is running our lives other than the Word of God, then that thing is a sin." And the same could be said in today's day and age in regard to our cell phones. I had recently lost my cell phone, and just now when I came up to preach, I noticed it was sitting right here. But today we notice that our cell phones, they play the same role in our lives. We're in the middle of a conversation with somebody. We go, "Oh, you know, my cell phone." And then we're just absent, or we're talking to somebody, and we say, okay. And we just kind of get sucked into our phones. If something is running our lives other than the Word of God, that something is a sin. And we notice that the Israelites have a very similar problem in their lives. Other things in their lives are running their lives besides the Word of God. So that's going to bring us now to our scripture in Hosea chapter 11. And we're going to start off here in the very first verse. "When Israel was a youth, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son." So here we see first and foremost that God has always loved Israel. He's always loved his chosen people. God has always had the love of a father towards his people. And as we read Hosea, and as we read rebuke after rebuke after rebuke toward the children of Israel, sometimes we can forget about that God loves his chosen people. And God also loves his people, the church. He loves us. He loves them. And we lose sight of that as we read rebuke after rebuke. But from the beginning, God has loved them. Let's move on to verse 2. "The more they called them, the more they went from them. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning incense to the idols." So the problem we see is not that God stopped loving the children of Israel. The problem is that the Israelites are seeking blessing from other places. Forget the fact that the Lord said, "You will be fruitful in this land. Let's sacrifice our firstborn child to a God that promises us fertility." Forget the fact that the Lord said that he would give us good land flowing with milk and honey to farm. Let's sacrifice to a God who promises to bless our crops and to bring us good weather for that. They're seeking blessings from places other than their Heavenly Father. But you got to ask. I mean, this is their Heavenly Father. They were slaves in Egypt. They've been brought out of Egypt. They've been given all these promises. They've been given their own land. But you got to ask, why do they continue to seek blessings elsewhere? Let's continue to read. Yet it is I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of a man, with bonds of love. If you're underlining in your Bible, this is going to be a very important part of this message. Circle, underline, whatever you have to do, bonds of love. I led them with cords of a man, with bonds of love. And I became to them as one who lifts the yoke from their jaws, and bent down and fed them. They are looking for blessing elsewhere because experiencing God as a father figure means times of feeding and leading. He said, I lead them with bonds of love. I lead them along with bonds of love. I think about going to the store with my mother, and I was a child who liked to wiggle around and run every which way. And I remember crossing the street with my mother, and she would hold my hand tight. It says, I led them with bonds of love, and I became as one who lifted the yoke, the bit, whatever, from their jaws. And you picture an animal who lifted that yoke. It was a time of leading, and now that stopped. And he says, and I bent down to feed them. When you follow the Lord, there are times of leading in your life. And maybe you're not crazy about where you're going. And there are times of feeding where you will receive blessing. And He's going to give you what you need because God knows what you need. God knows what we need better than we know what we need. But Israel wants the feeding without the leading. And you say, well, you know, they were obviously willing to give something up. They gave up their firstborn child to the God of Moloch. But what God asked of them was not a one-time sacrifice. What God asked of them was not a one-time a sacrifice or a giving up of something. What God asked of them was their heart. God was asking from them something much deeper than these false gods were. He was asking for them to give Him their life. Everything about you, when you follow God, everything about you is surrendered to Jesus. Some to Jesus I surrender. That's not in our hymn book. It's all to Jesus I surrender. All to Jesus. Not just something big. Not just, oh, give me something important. Give me your whole being. And they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to be led around. They wanted the feeding without the leading, and these false gods offered that to them. They do not want to submit to anyone. They don't want to submit to God because they want to make their own rules. They want to be in charge. Let's continue to read our passage and find out how that works out for them. Verse 5, they will not return to the land of Egypt but Assyria. He will be their king because they refused to turn to me. The sword will whirl against their cities and will demolish their gate bars and consume them because of their counsels. So my people are bent on turning from me. Though they call them to the one on high, none at all exalts them. As we look here, The result of rejecting the bonds of love that God offers, they find themselves in the bonds of Assyrian slavery. They say, I don't want God to be in charge of me. Enough with that. I'm going to make my own rules. I kind of like this God. I like this God. Let's worship them. They've got a catalog of Canaanite gods. They can choose whatever they want. Ooh, fertility god. That's nice. crops are important. Let's worship a weather god. And they just, they live their life whatever they want. They make God whoever they want. They make it look like whatever they want when they chisel it out of stone or whittle it out of wood. Every part of their life, they're in charge. But it doesn't work out. Because in rejecting the bonds of love, they find themselves in bonds of slavery. There are two reasons for this. First of all, they are being disciplined to draw them to repentance. And we've talked about this a lot in here because, to me, I think repentance is a concept that the Church of America doesn't spend enough time on. They're being disciplined to be drawn to repentance. We constantly hear people say, I'm learning to love myself. That's what I need right now. I need to learn to love myself. You don't need to learn to love yourself. We're usually pretty good at it. You need to learn to love Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that we should feel down about ourselves, but we should learn to love Jesus Christ and find our identity in Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we will feel best about ourselves when we are walking closest with Him. I know I've said this before, but this is very important to me. When we are walking with God and finding our identity in Him, we feel best about ourselves when we are walking closest with Him. But the flip side of that coin is when we are not in fellowship with Jesus Christ, we feel pretty lousy about ourselves. And we live in a culture that says, if you've said something to make me feel bad about myself, then you're in the wrong. But it's not true. It's called conviction. And when we are convicted, or when we are disciplined by God, it is to draw us to repentance. And yes, it makes us miserable. Yes, it makes us miserable, but it is to draw us to repentance, to return to fellowship with our Lord and Savior. And that is why they are being led into slavery. Proverbs 3:12 says, for whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. God disciplines His children to draw us to repentance. When a parent doesn't care how their kid turns out, they don't discipline them. They don't care. Who cares if they turn out to be a brat? It's not my problem. But when you love your child and you want to see them become the best they can be, you're going to discipline your child. And we're big fans of that with our own children. And we see a kid in a store throwing a temper tantrum and we say, man, somebody ought to pop that kid. Well, you know, sometimes somebody ought to pop us. Sometimes we live our lives in such a way that we need to be disciplined. And here the Lord is leading the children of Israel into slavery. He's leading it. He said the sword will whirl against their cities. I don't know what kind of image that puts in your head. The sword will whirl against your cities. But it's not a happy image. And it's hard for us to get our heads around the fact that that's okay. But the Lord is trying to draw His people to repentance because He loves them. But there's also a second reason that they are being taken into slavery. And that's because this is a picture of the bondage that living for ourselves brings. And this is kind of ironic to think about. But when we reject the bonds of love that God offers, we are just sprinting away from a master who loves us to a master who wants to see us destroyed. We are sprinting away from the loving arms of our Savior, our Father God. And we're sprinting into the chains of the slavery of sin. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Something I want us to know, guys, is that we never achieve freedom when we reject the law of God. And just as a follow-up point to that, we never achieve freedom when we reject the law of God. This is important for us to understand because this is not the way our mind is wired. Our mind is wired in that this list of rules here is cramping our style. And this list of rules here is holding us back. And this list of rules here is keeping us from having the fun we want to have. And that's how our mind is wired. But we never achieve freedom when we reject the law of God. Let's look here to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we all too formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. When we think of the result of rejecting the law of God, we need to think about our lives before we met God. God is telling the children of Israel, listen, you've been to Egypt. You know how this is going to work out with the Assyrians. Remember back when you were in Egypt and I got you out of that? Okay, well, you're not going back to Egypt, but you're going to be with the Assyrians. You remember what it was like to be a slave. Why are you doing this to yourself again? And we look at this and we say, those stupid Israelites. And we should be saying, stupid me, because we do this all the time. I do this all the time. Some people say, man, you're hard on us when you're preaching. Listen, I'm preaching to myself. You know, I need this. We do this. We think, oh, the Lord is cramping my style with His law. But remember when you were in Egypt. Remember when we all formerly walked in the lust of our own flesh and mind, and we were slaves of the prince of the power of the air. And when we decide as believers that we want to take a break from this, and you guys know what I'm talking about, you say, oh, let's stop singing that Christian song in my head and I'm going to do something on my own over here. You know what I'm talking about. You say, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to take a brief break. God, I'll be right back to walking with you. I'll be right back. I'm just going to take a break and have some me time. Remember what it was like being in Egypt. Remember what it was like living the way you wanted to live, because that's what you're trying to get back to. And it might be something different. You might not be running back to the exact same Egypt, but your experience in Assyria is not going to be much better. Your experience with this new sin you want to try out is not going to be much better than it was when you were in Egypt. And God's saying, you remember what this was like. Why do you keep doing this to yourself? And He doesn't look at us like, oh man, they're messing up, I want to squash them. He looks at them like at us like a father looks at his children and says, why do you keep doing this? You keep getting hurt. Why do you keep trying to do backflips off of the high dive with your bicycle? You know you're going to get hurt just like you did last time. You can tell, you know, I grew up, you know, kind of a rowdy little boy. But, you know, why do you keep trying to do this? You know you're going to get hurt. You got hurt the first time you did it. You got hurt the second time you did it. You got hurt the third time you're doing it. Why are you trying it again? But that's us. That's us in our lives. We want to take a break from God's law just for a minute, and we wind up in a new kind of slavery. We never achieve freedom when we reject the law of God. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. I'm not naive. I know most people in this room have seen this verse before, but I ask you to look at it again with fresh eyes. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Lord says, yes, I have rules for you to live by. Yes, I have a way that I think that you should do this. Yes, when you're going to walk for me with me, There are guidelines. There is the word of God I want you to live by. But it is not a spirit of slavery I'm giving to you. It's a spirit of adoption. I want to love you. I want to take you into my house. I want you to be an heir of my royal power. Guys, we are going to reign alongside of Jesus Christ one day. That's what God wants for us. And so, yes, He has rules for us, just like a father has rules for his daughter, just like a father has rules for his son. This is not the slavery you once experienced in Egypt. This is not the slavery you experienced when you were walking in your own flesh and with the prince of the power of the air, which is the devil. This is a new kind of rule book. This is the house rules. The house rules. Living in the house of God. Because we are a part of the family now. The book of James, I think, is one of the most insightful books that we have in our New Testament. This is James 2:12. It says, "So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty." We've been talking about bonds of love. I want to also look at this concept of the law of liberty. This is the law that frees us. The law of liberty. When I was studying this passage, I came across a quote that I just knew I needed to include. It says, "God's grace does not cancel our duty to obey Him. It gives our obedience a new basis." I think about the fact that no matter what we do, the Lord will forgive us. Because He loves us, He will forgive us. So what is our motivation? What is our basis for that obedience? It's the love that we have for one another. The love that God has for us and we have for Him. I'd like you to think of somebody in your life that if everybody in the world turned against you and they were still proud of you, if everybody in the world turned against you and they still loved you, you'd still be happy. I want you to think of that person in your life. Whether that's your mother, your father, a teacher or a coach you once had, whether that's a spouse, no matter who it is, it's the same kind of thing. We love God. We are grateful to Him for bringing us from death to life. And all of our obedience, the basis for it is the love that we have for Him and the gratitude that we have for Him. So here's our takeaway. First of all, you need to know that God loves you as a father. I guarantee you, you've heard that before. But I want you to own that. God loves you as a father. And He will supply for all of your needs. But you need to be willing to be fed, to be led. As we follow God, there are times of leading and times of feeding. And we don't get to pick and choose. He knows where we need to be led. So don't submit to Him out of obligation, but submit to Him out of love and devotion. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your mercy in the midst of our sin. Lord, I pray that wherever You need to take us, and Lord, this is a scary prayer, but Lord, wherever You need to take us to bring us back to You, when we find ourselves not walking with You, Lord, I pray that You'll do it. I pray, Lord, that You will bring us into submission, that we can truly experience fellowship with You. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that doesn't feel loved, if there's someone here that feels like maybe nobody cares about them, Lord, I pray that You will just reveal to them the big and mighty way in which You love them. That You will show them that You are their perfect Heavenly Father. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand and turn to page 11. Come Thou.